Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. People of God in St. Bede's, good morning.
Good morning.
I want to begin by just reminding us of the wonderful opportunity that our collect today gives us. The opportunity to inwardly digest the Word of God. And while that certainly has much a greater meaning when we think of Holy Communion, to have the opportunity to receive the grace and blessing from God by looking at His Word each and every moment, the benefits and the indescribable riches of that, it's unforeseen. Scripture tells us that for the saints, the Word of God should be on the tip of their tongue. And not only is that meant to be that's how we proclaim and that we live out God's truth and proclaim His gospel, but also informing our actions. And so as we look at Scripture each and every time that one of us has the privilege and opportunity to come here to this podium, let us be reminded that it begins with God's blessing, and it is something that we have the opportunity to inwardly digest each and every moment. Today we commence the second week of Advent, and another candle has been lit, but in the time of our scripture reading from Isaiah, God's people were lingering in the gloomy, dark shadow of their great oppressors. The book of Isaiah cries out to Israel in captivity. The early chapters were a clash of judgment upon Israel and its rulers, mixed with the promise of a new Jerusalem and a holy seed who would reign over all the nations, whose people would return to the covenant with the Lord. Where is the relief of the path of misery to be found? How is the hope of the mighty power to save to be secured? And when will the desire of all nations come? The Israelites longed for a Messiah, this holy seed, the promise of whom was given in Genesis 3, and towards whom the faith of Noah, Abraham, and Moses looked upon. They embarked upon lives of devotion and obedience to God. And we, now in Advent, must prepare and do the same. In the calendar new year, those who make resolutions to change habits must begin on January 1st without preparation and with no strength except that which comes from within, to persevere. But we as Christians are given this Advent season to prepare. And then on Christmas morning, we receive a most spectacular, undeserved gift. Emmanuel, God with us, Jesus, Lord and Savior, in whom we abide and in whose strength we persist. And I pray that you all were as fortunate as Timothy was. As Paul wrote, that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Or maybe you are now like the psalmist who exclaims, "With my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Your word I have hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you." His word is all of Scripture, given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may become complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. So consider this as you prepare in this Advent season. Have you sought God with all your heart? Are you thoroughly equipped for every good work? Or perhaps, as many children, young and old, are likely wondering this year, have I been good enough to deserve a gift? There's a story of a young boy who had been writing God a note on how good he had been throughout the past year. And he began by writing, "Dear God, I have been good for 6 months now, and I think I deserve a good gift for Christmas." Upon thinking about it, he then scribbled out 6 months and replaced it with 3 months. Looking at the paper in frustration and after thinking about it some more, he scribbled out 3 months and changed it to 2 weeks. But upon further thought, he scribbled out 2 weeks. And staring blankly at the paper, he got an idea. He jumped up from where he had been writing the message and went to the family's nativity scene and grabbed the Virgin Mary. After sitting back down to write the message, its contents had now changed quite entirely. He wrote, "Dear God, if you ever want to see your mother again, you'll give me what I want."
Oh, no.
Have we sought God with our whole heart? Are we thoroughly equipped for every good work? Do we believe that we deserve anything from God? Only our honesty and humility with these questions will drive us to incline our ear, listen carefully to God, inwardly digest His holy word, and let our soul delight in His abundance. True humility is not thinking less of yourself, it's thinking of yourself less. Remember, Christian, we seem to think that God operates on the same level as we do. But he reminds us in Isaiah today, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." And we say, thank God, and amen. Our thoughts and ways are fueled by optimism, but God's offer hope. Biblical hope does not try to push through or manipulate circumstances like optimism does. In fact, sustained by hope, there may be no evidence, none at all, that things will get better. But you choose to hope anyway. Isaiah in chapter 8 says, "And I will wait on the Lord, who hides his face from the house of Jacob, and I will hope in him." The only hope he had in those dark days was for God himself. And do we live in such dark days? Paul would seem to think so. He warned Timothy that in the last days men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Culture is saturated with calls to look within yourselves, yet is this not just an opportunity to despair of the hurt, the brokenness, and self-centeredness? Self-help is seen in Paul's words, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. No man knows how bad he is till he has tried very hard to be good. Isaiah cries out, "Everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Yes, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend money for what is not bread, and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me, and eat what is good, and let your soul delight itself in abundance." God's past faithfulness motivates hope for the future, for his faithfulness seen in the covenant with Israel, made with David, that now will be extended to a nation they do not yet know, the Gentiles, you and I. The suffering servant king brings a covenant of all nations which proclaims a hope for a renewed creation in Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteousness man his thoughts. Die before you die. There is no chance after. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. God knows all events perfectly. There's nothing that would surprise him. And praise be to him that despite all that has been and will be done awry and antithetical to his character, he still pursues mankind. God is willing to give all of his indescribable riches and love, because he is nothing short of this in his holy righteousness and love. And we are marveled further by the apparent joyful benevolence he demonstrates to us. This is the hope that should capture us in the Advent season. Often people settle for small victories of peace amidst a busy day, or resisting the festive foods. But we settle for too little. We don't fully grasp but the bad news of the fall, that which necessitated the coming of our Lord Jesus, fully man and fully God, to reconcile us, is worse than we think it is. But if we do recognize this, we will be captured by the joy and hope we possess in Christ, by the good news of the gospel. For this news is better than we think it is, because it is not a gift for the good or bad people, but entirely for bad people, enslaved to sin, who would never come to God's call or recognize the closeness of his presence without God's action. God created a people he knew would reject him, and yet he held on to such joy for the coming of his Son and his work for our redemption, a promise which God was eager to include in Genesis 3:15 so quickly after the rejection. The depth of his love and the joy he expresses is seen most acutely in Christ's act on one Friday, which we tenderly describe as good. From our hymn today, with what rapture gaze we on those glorious scars. God foreshadows through his prophet Isaiah once more. In chapter 53, "We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief." This description of such a love, accompanied by the joy of God in doing so, should cause anyone to shudder. And Isaiah says, "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Die before you die. There is no chance after. He is near." C.S. Lewis wrote, "It's always shocking to meet life where we thought we were alone. Look out, we cry, it's alive. And therefore, this is the very point at which so many draw back. I would have done so myself if I could, and proceeded no further with Christianity. An impersonal God, well and good. A subject of God of beauty, truth, and goodness inside our own heads, better still. A formless life force surging through us, a vast power which we can tap, best of all. But God himself, alive, pulling at the other end of the cord, perhaps approaching at an infinite speed, the hunter, the king, the husband. Now that is quite another matter. There comes a moment when the children who have been busy playing burglars hush suddenly. Was that a real footstep in the hall? There comes a moment when people have been dabbling in religion. Man's search for God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. There is a moment when they suddenly draw back. Supposing we really found him. We never meant it to come to that. Worse still, supposing he had found us. O come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel. O come, O bright and morning star, and bring us comfort from afar. Dispel the shadows of the night, and turn our darkness into light. O come, O King of nations, bind into one the hearts of all mankind. Bid our sad division cease, and be yourself our King of peace." Amen.